Did you know the scripture says that Abraham liked God, and before God, in God's presence, called things that be not as though they were?
Today, Kenneth Copeland encourages you to only speak the scriptures the Holy Spirit puts on your heart and do only those things the Spirit tells you to do. Walk in victory, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory. Previously on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Now then, how do you live here in this kingdom? What do I do? Let's turn over there in Matthew 6 in the teaching of Jesus and how to live in the kingdom of God. Well, actually, we'll start with chapter 5, but I want to introduce you to this, and then we'll go over to the 6th chapter. Because chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, all those chapters are talking about seeking the kingdom of God. Actually, everything Jesus said while he was on the earth, everything that is written in the letters by the Holy Ghost is talking about how the kingdom operates. What did Jesus preach when he was on the earth? If you ask Christian people that, I'm telling you, you're going to get some of the weirdest, funniest kind of answers you ever heard in your life. But actually, he said, we must go and preach the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. So this is what he was preaching. He's preaching the kingdom. You've been born into the kingdom. Now you need to know the constitution of this kingdom. You need to know what the king has already said. Because in this case, the king don't ever change. He doesn't have to change. He was right the first time. Amen. That was his first words. Why? Because that was God's first words. God. King. God. Of the whole earth. Created man in his own image. And then the scripture called it crowning him with his glory. And he blessed them. He empowered them. Now, if you'll get a Hebrew translation of the scriptures and look at the very first verse, in the beginning God created heaven, earth, and so forth. Look, I want you to look how it's translated. In the beginning, the blessed one created. Now, Brother Copeland, I don't understand that. Who blessed God? You don't know what the word blessed means. Now, the religious correctness has boiled the word blessing down to where it has zero meaning in the kingdom of darkness, in the religion world. Even among Christian people that they really don't know they're walking in darkness, they just don't know anything about it. Where it's been boiled down to when somebody says, God bless you, it don't mean anything. It's just like, take care. No, I ain't taking you care. Be careful. That means be full of care. No, I'm not taking you care. Because that's unscriptural. But see, if you haven't already had your mind fixed and established, your heart established and fixed, trusting in the Lord, you have a fear-ruled mind instead of a word-ruled mind, then your mind didn't think that. Every time somebody says to me, be careful, Copeland, I just like that. Now, if it's somebody I know, I'll say, no, thank you. God bless you. And they think, Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Because they know where I'm coming from. The Word of God says you're full of pride unless you cast the whole of your care. The Scripture says that's being humble before God under the mighty hand of God is casting all care over on Him once and for all. So I'm very quick. I'm not trying to correct somebody out there on the sidewalk. That's not what I'm doing at all. I'm continually renewing my mind because I live in a different kingdom than they do. And they can say that over there in their kingdom, but I don't say that over here where I live because that interrupts my spirit and it causes trouble in faith, hope, and love. I'm not going to do that. It lets a thief that's come in, tries to get into my kingdom, tries to get after me and get in. He can't get past that blessing wall unless I let him past with fear, like Job did. He let a crack in that wall, and actually his wife was more guilty at it than he was. But the devil got in there, and there wasn't anything God actually could do about it as long as Job acted like that. Because he'd already set up he already knew the constitution of the kingdom, and he knew how it functioned, but he slipped off like the man that we saw in Jeremiah 17:5. Now, I mean, this guy slipped off and departed and got his eyes off of God and got it off out there on what is going on around him. Now then, I want to show you this again because I want to talk about this. Jesus is talking about this kingdom. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, poor in spirit, that is really, really a... Well, let me put it this way. You read the real translation of this, and you won't ever use it again in your own vernacular. He actually said, "Blessed are they who depend on God only for everything, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Phew, that's strong, isn't it? But you notice the first word he said, "Blessed." He opened his mouth and said, "Blessed." Now, what's going on here? Jesus was preaching something diametrically opposed to what all these people ever heard before. All they ever heard was the law. And what would happen to you, what disastrous, ungodly stuff would happen to you if you broke it. That God would smite you, God would kill you, God would take everything you had. And it wasn't true. And some of it was because they didn't know any better. Other things that were wrong with it is the same thing that happens today in the Christian community and also in the Jewish community, because if you all the time read the Torah, you read the first five books, and that's all. You don't read anything more than that. And you meditate and study on the law and the curse of the law, it doesn't build faith. Now, there are parts in there that will certainly build faith because there are promises in the Torah that build faith. Promises build faith. But that's not the major source for the promises of God. The major source for the promises of God is in the prophets. And as you enter into the prophets, and then you begin to go back over the Torah and say, "Oh, yeah, now I see why he said that." You're not dwelling on the curse of the law because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But if your church spends all its time preaching on the law and its curse,
God came through Alabama. Look what he did. He brought judgment down on the state of Alabama, and he did blow away all the houses in Alabama and the whole Alabama in trouble because God done come on the scene. That's not what's wrong with Alabama. The thing was wrong with Alabama is because no churches were preaching how to take authority over the storm before it blew the town away. They don't know how to live in the kingdom. That tornado don't belong in the kingdom of God, and it doesn't belong in destroying the property of the citizens of the kingdom of God. No, ma'am, no, sir. Because the blessing has authority over everything that flies, swims, crawls, creeps, and all of this broken natural kingdom. Amen. Jesus walked in the blessing of Abraham. He never one time walked in any special thing from heaven because he's the Son of God. Never said that he did. He didn't preach that he was the Son of God. He preached as the Son of Man, blessed and anointed. I know now I might have got on some of his religious toes. I've been standing around on the toes of religion all day today, and I don't plan to get off. No, sir. I'm not gonna pat you on the face. That'd be all right, sweetheart. That's okay. That's all right. No, it ain't all right. It's against the law. It's against the law of love. You can stand up in the face of a tornado just the same way Jesus stood up in that boat and said to the wind and the sea, "Peace, be still." The scripture said he said one thing to the wind and he said something to the sea. He told that wind, peace, told the sea, be still. Didn't add anything to it. Didn't do a bunch of talking. He just turned around them. Now listen to this. Now they'd been hearing him preach, bless, 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 bless. That's how you live in this kingdom. He turned around there to them and he said, why are you so full of fear, and where is your faith? What did you wake me up for? I gave you the faith to do this with. I told you to have faith in God. Why didn't you do it? What did they do? What manner of man is this? Oh, even the wind and the sea obey him. He's just a free man. No, he's not. Well, now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Jesus is not special, but I'm saying it in the light of what we're learning here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus was praying and he said to the Father, show them you love them as much as you do me. We are joint heirs with him. Let me ask you a religious, correct question. The question isn't, but the answer that comes from it, most of the time, from most people, is answered religiously. Was and is Jesus one of a kind? Oh, yes, Brother Copeland, never be another like Jesus. No, no, Brother. Oh, he's so wonderful. Yes, he's wonderful. Oh, he's the most. Oh, yes, amen. Oh, there'll never be another one like Jesus. Then he died for nothing. Because the word said, God sowed him as a seed to bring many, many sons unto glory. He's no longer called the only begotten Son of God. He is called the firstborn from the dead. And the Bible says that we have been recreated in his image. We are joint heirs with him in the eyes of God and should be in our eyes. But you have to walk in. I'm going to show you something. In the eyes of God, we're just as righteous as he is. And I lost a bunch of you right there because of your religious correctness. But don't get mad like the rich young ruler and walk off. Stay with me. You wouldn't get up off an operating table when the doctor slit you open and say, I've had enough of this, and get, no, let him sew you up. Dear Lord, don't just jump and run. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, you understand,
that this is the Holy Bible? You understand that right there? All right. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, if you go look that one up, you're gonna find out it meant just exactly what it said. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Listen now. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more sin consciousness. You ought not be having any more consciousness, oh, religious correctness. Well, I'm so no good, I'm so unworthy, but Jesus is so wonderful. You ain't supposed to be thinking like that. That's not what our Constitution in the kingdom of God says. In our Constitution, it says your whole consciousness ought to be so wiped out from that world of darkness where you used to live. No. You ought not have any sin consciousness. No, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not just the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Let the weak say, I am strong, the Scripture says. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in Christ Jesus, yes. I'm blessed. Now, that's the big thing. I'm supposed to be blessed. I am blessed. It's up to me to receive the blessing of which I'm blessed. Now, I want to go back to that part where who blessed God? Well, the blessed one. That means the one with the power. He's not talking to Adam and saying, God bless you, little boy. And Adam sneezed. No. He's endowing and then he is imparting his glory, his righteousness, his power. The same power of which he created this universe is now been delegated and imparted unto him, and he is to use it as freely as his very own in the very presence of God his Father. Did you know the Scripture says that Abraham, like God, and before God, in God's presence, called things that be not as though they were. Just like God. He did it in his presence. Do you think God said, wait a minute, you ain't got any right to do that. I'm the only one who does that. You're just a squirrely little man. You can't do that. You're going to fail. No, you're going to bring a bad name on the ministry. Think about Mark 11. Jesus spoke to that fig tree, and they said, oh, Lord, did you see that fig tree? You cursed right up from the roots. Now, did Jesus say, now, boys, let me tell you something. I don't want y'all doing this. No, sir. You get out there, start talking to trees and things. And nothing is going to happen. You're going to bring a bad name on this ministry. Don't you let me catch you doing that. Is that what he said? No. He said, have faith in God. It gets all over me every time I say it, because I had him say that to me more than once. He's not just telling you to have faith. He is telling you, he's offering you his faith. Isn't he the author of our faith? Yes, he is. He's saying, have faith in God. For whosoever, whosoever. Don't read that like just whosoever in the world. And actually not just whosoever born again believer. It's whosoever has faith in God shall say to that mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. He'll have. Whatsoever, he says. And I like to put them there, just like me.
Yes, just like him. Sure, it's just like him. He's not the only one. We've been born in his image. We've been given the blessing of Abraham's come on us through Christ Jesus, who was made a curse so we could be blessed. And we walk in the blessing. We've been empowered by him. Our words are as powerful as his. When we speak what he says and we speak in faith and we go and inquire unto him what to speak, what word to say before we just start shooting our mouth off. When you only say the scripture that he directs you to say and you only do those things that he directs you to do in the word and you see it in your spirit and you latch onto it, you say it and it'll come to pass. You do it and it'll bring results. The failure, the Christian failure is a prayer failure. Prayer failure is not inquiring to God before you pray. You ask not because you have not, and then you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. How do you keep from doing that? Wisdom is the principal thing, the scripture says. It's not a principal thing. It's the principal thing. Now then, we need to change course here just a little bit. Jesus went through all of this. Now, he preached, I told you a while ago, that he preached something diametrically opposed to what the Pharisees, scribes, and so forth that preached, and the leaders of the synagogues and so forth. They majored on the law and its curse. Jesus majored on the blessing of Abraham, their father. And the two messages sounded like they were at odds with one another. But he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. Because when you begin to walk in the blessing of Abraham, let me ask you this. Does the law say, do not covet what your neighbor has? It does, doesn't it? Well, then how would the blessing of Abraham fulfill thou shalt not covet? Because when you're blessing-minded, you're not looking at what your neighbor's got. Oh, God bless him. He got a beautiful wife and all of that. But oh, what my Father has got in store for me. Whoa, glory to God. I tell you, I don't need anything he's got. In fact, if the Lord will help me, I'll bless him where he'll have more than he ever had. You see, you don't have to lie. Even if you lie and if you catch yourself at it, you can just repent and say, I confess of that lie, and the blessing, rules, and laws will forgive and cleanse you. Now that is good news. That is strong news.
When God said, let there be light, at 186,000 miles a second, the universe was born. The creative power released in those words lives inside you right now. The first thing God did after he created human life was to give mankind the blessing. You cannot earn it, buy it, or demand it. The blessing is the very creative force of God that is given to every believer, setting them up to thrive. Kenneth Copeland's latest book, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow With It, is the result of over 40 years of study, practice, and down-to-earth insights on the blessing. Filled with real-world examples that transformed Kenneth from debt and doubt to a lifestyle of health, wealth, and peace. Living less than blessed, knowing there's more to life than what you see? Failure is not an option, and success is guaranteed when you unlock God's blessing in your life. Make the change. Start today. Order Kenneth Copeland's newest book today for just $19.99 at a special 20% savings. Go to kcm.org or call our toll-free number to purchase your copy of The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow With It. Discover the revelation that changed Kenneth Copeland's life overnight and how it can change yours too. Don't wait another day to get on the road to all God has in store for you. Order The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich and He Adds No Sorrow With It by Kenneth Copeland today.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Pearson. What a wonderful message you and I have heard today about having and living with the established heart, the heart that's fixed in God's Word. I want to tell you something. Until you make Jesus the Lord of your life, your heart cannot be established. If you notice sometimes you're up one day and down the next, and whatever way this world is going, you just feel pulled and torn in every direction. You don't have to live that way. The first step to having the established heart, the heart that's fixed and established, is making Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you've never done that, you can do it with one simple prayer. I invite you to pray this after me. Just say, "Oh God in heaven, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. He is your Son. He lived and died and rose again, and He did it for me. Now, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive these gifts from you in Jesus' name. Amen." Now listen, if you prayed that prayer with me today for the first time, then heaven is going absolutely ballistic over you, so just full of joy that you've come home to God. That's how heaven feels about it. That's how this ministry feels about it. And we, your brothers and sisters, rejoice with you. If you prayed with me today, then we have a free gift for you. All you need to do is contact us here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries and let us know that you want it. It's a small book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and they want to send this to you absolutely free. And along with it is a small brochure called How to Study the Bible. Listen, the Bible is not just some old book. It's alive. It is God speaking to you and I today. Don't ever again say that you can't hear God. You pick up this book and you open it up and you say, "This is God speaking to me," and you read it. And you get into it every single day of your life. And it's going to change the world around you. It's going to be a blessing to you. And when you read the Word of God, you are reading the will of God. And you find out His will for your life, and He sets you on this new course. It's a beautiful thing, and it changes everything around you. Praise God. Let me invite you to join Kenneth Copeland again tomorrow as he continues to teach us how to live in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. This is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. Live at East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center in Secaucus, New Jersey. Join Terry Copeland Pearsons for her Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference with guest Patsy Caminiti, September 28th through 30th. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Jesus was preaching the fulfillment of the law by the blessing. Now, who is the blessed one? The empowered one. He is love. And love never fails.